Hi, you've reached Kwame.
And Christy.
And we're from I'd Rather Not Podcast. Leave a message.
Everybody, welcome to the show. The rules of engagement are really quite simple. So if you can pull yourself away from Grindr for 2 seconds, listen up.
Let's have a kiki.
I want to have a kiki.
Hey, hey, hey. I'm Kwame. Joined by Christy Champagne. And we're at Rather Not Podcast. What's up?
Why are you saying that all slow? Like, I had my name is Kwame.
I was trying to have a sultry entrance this time.
Yes, because our show is all about very sexy talking.
You know, that's how we do
we're
things.
Here today.
I don't talk about none of that homosexual bullshit.
You're so crazy.
It's a new entrance every week. Okay. How are you,
you
Mama?
Better not. I'm good. Well, I'm okay, alive and breathing.
You know.
I think that's about all we can expect after the week I've had.
Well, you know, let's...
How are you?
I'm okay.
I'm going to have to agree with you on that one.
Yeah, I am at a point in my life where I feel that there is no hope for this government anymore. So
that's what we're getting into today.
I mean,
that's what this is all about today. This is going to be, brace yourselves, listeners, because this one is going to be very heated and very heavy-handed.
Yeah, and if you guys have your cocktails, add some more alcohol right now. Just take some time. Yes. You know, we'll wait. You know, go ahead and just make it a double or a triple if you're feeling fruity. You know what I'm saying?
I have knocked back a bottle of rosé before you even called me.
Madam. she's ready. So
where do we begin?
Where do we not? Well, I'm gonna let you go first.
So here's the thing. If we're talking about the elephant in the room, and by elephant I mean orange crunchy Cheeto who unfortunately runs our country.
Mm-hmm. And I used to like Cheetos.
At the beginning of the week, what are we looking at? Today's the 31st or something?
Yes, ish.
Yeah, something like that. So about 5 or 6 days ago, Mr.
Him.
There's so many names I could call him. Him.
Yeah.
Him.
That guy.
45. Let's just call him 45.
Yeah.
Mr. Trump decided to tweet, which, first things first, I'm all for technology and I don't like to consider myself old fashioned, but I feel like I have a lot of old fashioned values and things like that. But I don't like to consider myself old fashioned. I'm not very tech savvy, but I feel like we live in a world that revolves around social media, evolves around electronics, evolves around the internet, all of these things. Things are so much different from when we were teenagers. And what I hate is that we live in a world where we have to now take something that this idiot tweets at 5:55 in the morning for fact. And we have to worry about these things because he's tweeting them. And we have to assume that because he tweets these things, at some point it's going to be real. And his tweet, and as much as I hate to quote him, allow me to read this tweet that started this whole conversation.
Mm-hmm.
He tweeted that after consultation with my generals and military experts, please be advised that the United States government will not accept or allow transgendered individuals to serve in any capacity in the U.S. military. Our military must be forced and decisive and overwhelming victory and cannot be burdened with the tremendous medical costs and disruption that transgendered in the military would entail. Thank you. Where I just can't even begin to, I feel like this is probably one of the biggest outlashes towards anyone that he has probably done so far since his inauguration. I feel like he's thrown a lot of hate and he obviously lies about 100% of things he talks about are usually lies. And he doesn't follow through with his promises. However, I feel like this is the first, like, really hardcore, straight up attack on a certain group of individuals that reside in the United States and under the government of the United States. And it's just, it's so sad. And we talked earlier, a couple of days ago before we started recording this, and I voiced to you how upset this makes me. And normally I'm not the kind of person who, you know, is very, what's the word I'm looking for? Very outspoken about issues. Mm-hmm. I feel like I tend to do my, you know, I tend to support more, I think. And I know that sounds bad being a drag queen. You know, drag queens have always been such amazing, you know, fighters for any kind of, any cause, no matter whether it's a gay cause or not. And so I feel like sometimes I feel like maybe I don't do enough being a drag queen. I could probably do more, but I've never been the kind of person who like really like gets crazy and rallies and all these things. But I feel like I do my best to support. Mm-hmm. However, just something about this tweet really seriously struck like a huge chord in my heart for mm-hmm. some reason. Mm-hmm. And not for some reason. I shouldn't say some reason, like it doesn't matter. But just really struck me hard and like really, really, really upset me. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's just, it's too much. It's too much because I just, like I said, I hate that we live in a world where we have to assume that this is going to happen, that he's going to ban transgender people from serving in the military. And it's just ridiculous. It's completely ridiculous. Like, completely ridiculous. To say that somebody's a burden and a disruption is like, are you kidding me? You're kidding me, right? Like, you're kidding me.
So can we just start at the fact that the president of the United States, y'all's president out there, decided that he wanted to, instead of doing the proper thing, and I've said this on Blaze Entertainment, but I want to reiterate this on every possible show that I am voiced on.
Okay.
Y'all's president decided to get to stay in his bed, in his dirty, rusty, shit-stained drawers, and tweet with his teeny hands on his teeny phone and decide to create policy based off of that tweet.
Right.
Does it's anybody horrible. Find a problem with that? Like, we pay him. We pay him. Okay. Our tax dollars fund his Mar-a-Lago trips. Our tax dollars fund his fucking, you know, wife and or, you know, mail order bride and his child. Okay.
Yeah.
Our tax dollars fund, you know, the fact that he is on that they're in New York, that he has, but there's pretty much two White Houses at this point in time. You know what I'm saying? So our tax dollars are funding all of this bullshit. And you have the audacity, the unmitigated gall to sit in your room or wherever you are and with your teeny hands and just create policy and not even go through the proper channels.
Right. Well, and that's exactly it. And I know, having done some research, because when he tweeted this and this became a thing, I just thought there's no way, there's no possible way that, first of all, and right now, currently, this is not banning transgendered individuals in the military is not a thing. In fact,
it's not.
It's not. And just because you tweet it doesn't make it a thing.
And let me just say something, because I was in the military and you know how it takes forever for a policy from on high to come down and trickle on down to the military, because there is a chain of command. There are rules and regulations, and the military is one of our oldest establishments. Right. And the military has a tradition that they follow to a T. There are rules and regulations. There are things that they do. There are dots that have to be dotted. I's that have to be dotted. There are T's that have to be crossed. And it doesn't matter who the fuck you are. If you do not go through the proper channels, policy is not, it's just you talking and not implementing anything.
That's exactly what it is. It's just him talking. And the Joint Chief of Staff made it very clear, and this has been put on record numerous times since this tweet, that they stand on the side of keeping the service open to all, regardless of sexual orientation or gender identity. And currently, right now, the military, the U.S. military employs as many as 15,000 active duty National Guard and National Reserve transgender troops. Hmm. Like, are you kidding me? Like, that's a lot that are already serving in your military that you supposedly say are a disruption and a burden on medical costs.
And in
so
addition,
you're telling me that you're just going to pull 15,000 service members? Like, that's going to fuck you over. Like, I'm sorry, that's a large amount of people.
There's
like,
there's no way possible that can be done.
It doesn't work
like that.
And let me clear something up for the rest of this conversation. You have served in the military. I have not. However, I have numerous people in my family that are currently enlisted and were enlisted mm-hmm. in all branches of the military. So I feel like I do have enough know-how to understand how these things work and to know to take it from a side of somebody who isn't in the military and somebody who is. And it's just like, what I find funny is that when I was looking up facts about this, that the William Institute estimated that transgender people are twice as likely to serve in the military as a cisgender person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, twice as likely. Like, so your argument is completely redunculous. Like,
yeah.
Completely redunculous. Like, it makes no sense to me. Like, at all whatsoever. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like the last thing that anybody in the military is worried about is their gender reassignment surgery while they're serving. I feel like that's not, it's like, I feel like the military in all branches is very oriented on a task, and you are given the task of,
but you know what's fucking funny?
Defending us or whatever you may be doing, and you're worried about that task, but
you know what's funny? Nobody's saying anything about the hundreds and thousands of fucking, you know, army wives or military right. wives that go and get their boobs done. You know what I'm saying? On the military dime because they can, because that's something that their partners, you know, and not, you know, that their spouses earned. You know what I'm saying? Right. Healthcare is not something that should be, you know, it should be a right. It is not a privilege. Right. It is a right.
Oh, yeah.
I should not have to worry about if I'm going to be taken care of if I'm sick or not, because this fucking government has already screwed up the fucking planet as it is. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I'm already going to die anyway. You know what I'm saying? I would like to die as less painful as possible. You know what I mean?
Right.
But, you know.
And here's my thing. It's like the percentage of military personnel who seek forms of gender-related medical treatment and reassignment surgeries is less than 0.1%.
Right.
And that's a fact from the RAND Corporation. Less than 0.1% of military personnel seek forms of gender-related medical treatment or gender reassignment surgery. So how is less than 0.1% a financial burden, Mr. Trump? How? Explain to me how.
He doesn't even know how. He's listening to radicals. That's their fucking problem. That's what happened.
He doesn't know. It's so crazy to me. When the military spends more money on erectile dysfunction medication than it does on transgendered individuals as a whole.
You better say
it. Are you kidding me? Like, when the government spends 7 times more for Trump's vacations and golf trips than it does on transgendered service members.
Right.
Get your shit together, Mr. Trump.
Right.
Like, get your fucking shit together. Like, the military spends $2.4 to $8.4 million annually on transgendered service members. And that just means any kind of medical treatment, not just gender reassignment surgeries, any kind of medical treatment. $2.4 to $8.4. So basically $9 million a year if you average it up. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let's put this out there. Let's put this out there, ladies and gentlemen. Do you know what costs more?
Well,
Trump spends $20 million on average this year. We'll spend this year $20 million on average for golf trips.
Mm-hmm.
Golf trips alone. To put Melania and Barron Trump up in their penthouse in New York City, it costs $145,000 a day.
A day.
That's $25 million since the inauguration.
My God.
$25 million. Like, are you kidding me?
It's been more than they put in.
And the Pentagon is saying that they're about $125 billion in waste just last year alone. But you're worried about how much it's going to cost you to spend on transgender people in the military? Fuck off. Like, go away. Like, do us all a favor.
Right?
Like, go away. Like, go away. It's just too much. It's too much. And it hurts my heart. It hurts my heart because we all have transgender. You can't argue. There's nobody in this world that's going to say they haven't come across or have a transgender person in their life. And yeah. I'm lucky enough to have a lot of transgendered individuals in my life.
Yes.
And I feel like it just hurts my heart because growing up as a kid with people in the military in my family and people still in the military in my family, I feel like I hold people who want to enlist and have enlisted and serve and have served in our military and vets as well at such a high regard that I think that's where a lot of that hurt for me comes from. So for you to tell me that because I'm transgendered, I can't serve in the military it hurts. Like I'm not going to cry because I don't want to, but it hurts. It's upsetting. And it's just, I feel like so many problems come from hate, and that tweet in itself alone, whether it comes to fruition or not, is hate filled. It's hate filled. And you can sit here and you can argue that he's saying it's about medical costs and it's about the disruption of them serving and the fact that, you know, if they have to take leave for medical surgeries, that they leave their post unattended and they leave their, you know, whatever behind. And you can make all those arguments, but the bottom line is that the base of this is just straight up hatred.
Right.
100% pure hatred. We've seen him do this a dozen times. He did this with Latinos talking about building his fucking wall. He's going to keep doing this. He's going to keep doing this. And it's very, and I hate to throw this word out there because I feel like it sparks a lot of debate and a lot of, like, it takes the conversation to a completely different place. But the things he does and the things he says are very Hitler-esque.
Oh, yeah.
And absolutely. It is blatant, and it just gets more and more blatant that is what's going on here. And I'm sorry, but that's not the world I live in. Mm-hmm. That's not the world I want to live in, and that's not the world I'm going to live in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's horrible. It's horrible. And the amount of stupidity and I'm so heated, I can't even think of words right now. The amount of stupidity and hatred that comes with that is just, it's overwhelming. It's very, very overwhelming.
What's frustrating about the whole situation is that, you know, just recently, in addition to this whole debacle with the trans ban, which I can't even call it a ban because it's not a policy.
It's not a fucking policy.
But what's really frustrating about this whole Republicans type of situation is that they have yet to accomplish any type of legislation or pass any type of legislation, any major legislation since Trump has gotten to office. Mm-hmm. And it's frustrating because you're so busy trying to undo, you, like, at least when President Obama came into office, they sat there and they worked on, even before they even got into office, they sat there and worked on, and you could talk to a lot of his advisors, there was a lot of interviews that happened with his former advisors and cabinet members and people who were on President Obama's administration or in President Obama's administration, and they sat there and studied and did studies and research and they talked not only to Democrats, not only to independents, but they also talked to Republicans. What can we all do to make this particular policy better? What can we do to implement this policy so that it's for the good of the nation? And I think that it's just really fucking frustrating because the only thing that Trump is so focused on is what can I do to get rid of policies that have Obama on it. What can I do to break down his legacy? Because if it was President Bush that did marriage equality, we wouldn't be worrying about LGBTQ issues ever. Right. You know what I'm saying? If it was President Bush that came out with Obamacare or the ACA, we wouldn't be worrying about, any of this stuff. But because President Obama was the one to implement a lot of these major policies and has did things that almost no other president in our lifetime has done. You know what I'm saying? Right. And almost even in two lifetimes has done. It's frustrating to see that is his only, mission without even doing research on it. Like when the whole healthcare issue came about, in the beginning, even Trump went on national news. Oh, we like these parts and stuff like that. Well, that's the whole being of Obamacare. You know what I'm saying? Oh, well, we like these parts of marriage equality, but that's a marriage equality. You know what I'm saying? Like you're only saying that you don't like it because people are telling you that Obama did it and you want something with your name on it.
Well, and that's the thing, is that the Republican House voted down the bill that Obama placed, that put in place that allows transgendered people to enlist and serve in the military. They voted it down 214 to 209. That's a really overwhelmingly large amount of them that voted to get rid of this, to basically say we don't want transgender people in the military. And it's exactly like you said, it's got nothing to do with it. It's like a high school movie is what this is. And everyone who came before him is the bad, is the popular people. And he just wants to do anything to change and undo all of the amazing things that have been done before him because he didn't do them. It's like somebody who has to always have the last word and has to always be the one in charge. It's like because people before you came up with these policies that work and work for everyone, yet you have to do whatever you can do to just combat it, to just argue it for the sake of arguing. It's not even about like what's actually going on. It's the sake of arguing. Like you just want to run your fucking orange flappy mouth to run your fucking.
Like you're not listening.
Mouth.
You're waiting to talk.
You're not.
Right.
And that's exactly what it is. And it's just, it's horrible. And to say that we've stated a lot of facts and we've stated, that he said that transgendered in the military is a financial burden. He also said something that to me is completely ridiculous, that transgendered individuals in the military is a distraction.
Right.
So basically what he's saying is that because you're transgendered and you're in the military, you're going to be distracted from your goal or from your post and you're not going to be able to serve properly. That's fucking ridiculous to me.
Here's the thing. How is he going to say that when he had 5 fuck ass deferments? Like he has never served in the military.
That's my point. Is like, and that's something I posted on my Facebook that sparked a very heated debate recently. And it's basically that how can a man who has never served in the military tell me that if I was a transgendered individual, I can't serve in the military? 5 times you have been. Like, how do you get out of going into the military 5 times? I just don't get.
Because he's a rich brat. That's what it is.
I just don't understand that. And you would think that a guy who's dodged the draft 5 times would be happy that over 15,000 people are willing to volunteer their service in his place.
Right. Right.
You want those people not to serve? Because guess who's going to have to go in their place? Somebody.
And sure, exactly.
Maybe that means me. I'm okay with that argument. But the fact that you've dodged the draft 5 times, yet you're not willing to allow people to serve in your place. Isn't that the job of the president? Is like, I just don't. And again, this may be going into like politic things that I don't really understand because I'm not a huge political person. But is that not his job? Is that not his job to lead us in the right direction and not the white direction?
Well,
which is where he needs to be putting us. Like,
listen, sorry, you better go ahead and say it.
Girl, that is coming from me, the whitest white woman / man in the entire world. Like, it's the best way to describe
I'm
that.
I'm glad
it's
you
the
said best it.
Way to place that, is that you're trying to send us into a place that you want, not what's best for everyone.
Right.
Like, and you can argue that, you know, I know we have all these things now and all, there's all these arguments about how, like, you know, we're so, you know, we're too open-minded as a country and we're too, you know, like, what's the word I want to use?
Progressive.
And we're too like, oh, it's just about love. But that's really what it's about. It's about accepting everyone for who they are and living in a country where we can all be different and all be the same at the same time. And
but I don't even understand that argument from the right. What pisses me off about that is that they have a traditionalist type of mentality. And don't get me wrong. I think the Constitution and a lot of the things that are put in place were made to keep things in order. It has saved us from having dictators and being taken, you know, being overruled by other countries and foreign dignitaries and things of that nature. So yes, yeah, we have things that are put in place that we can use as pillars and foundations to protect this country. How the fuck ever? We have also traditional issues that we have, okay, that still are put into place and still are class systems and race systems that are put into place to keep a lot of the people oppressed and down, to include LGBT, to include black culture, to include Native Americans, to include minorities. So, like, I don't want to hear, you know, and even classism. When you get into classism, Donald Trump doesn't give a fuck about the average white person. He doesn't give a fuck about the person that's going down, that's in Ohio or, you know, some of these flyovers, quote unquote flyover states that they name themselves. He only gives a fuck about the 1%, the people who are giving him money, the people who are going to donate to his campaigns, the people who are going to stay at his hotels. He gives a fuck about those people. And so, so we get to a point where we're like, oh yeah, even the people who are, you know, in the, you know, who supported him, who are like this alt-right people, half of them are just average fucking white people who don't have like hella money, and they're just like, you know, they don't realize that there's classism too, that there is an issue that goes on. Like, while you're being racist in your own little place, Trump's making money off of you. You know what I'm saying? And what's frustrating about the situation is that, like, yes, we can sit here and we can ignore the issues that are going on with transgenders and the issues that are going on with this quote unquote trans band. What's frustrating about the situation is you can ignore it all you want, but once, if this was successful and he was actually able to implement via a tweet, what else can he do implement via a tweet? He can start doing all types of things. And if he, at one point in time, when you start getting rid of all the people that you hate, they're gonna come for you, boo boo. Okay,
because they sure are.
Okay, because if you think it's going to be a situation at one point in time where you think it's going to be a situation where it's like, yes, we got all the Negroes and the homos and all those out of the way. Well, guess what? Now your little white ass is going to get it too, because you don't have the money to do what you need to do. And it's, what's frustrating is that they get to a point where it's like, we're going to just hate on this group because it's quote unquote popular. What they don't realize is that 85% of this country is progressive. 85% of this country may not be democratic, but they are independent thinking. And what you have to do is that we're in a point right now in this place, in this time, where you have risen up this rage, this invigoration, this empowerment within people to say, you know what, we're not going to deal with this. We're not going to have a situation where we're going to feel like we're oppressed, where our brothers and sisters are going to feel like we, these are the same people that are defending your little red ass while you're in your golden tower. These are the same people that are having your midwife or your store-bought wife and your child, your little brat child in the damn Golden Tower of New York while you're constantly adding on to tax dollars of New York. While you're going golfing, we're paying for all that. And these people, these transgender people, are the same ones that are decided that they're going to volunteer. Nobody forced them to go do it. Nobody forced any LGBTQ plus to go and do what, to call for to stand up to the call for this nation. Nobody has done that. We have volunteered to stand by this nation and say, you know what, we're going to fight for it. We're going to keep it safe. And when the time comes, we will give our lives if we need to. And how dare you, you fat monkey, gonna sit there with your orange ass and with your orange Cheetos crow-filled tiny hands and tweet a policy that you know is not even correct. You're not even going to pass. You completely ignored your Senate. You completely ignored your Congress. And you completely ignored the call of this people. How dare you tell these people that they cannot serve in this nation for this nation because you want to listen to some racist ass tell you what to do because you don't have any free will of your own. Fuck off, sir.
Okay. Well, it just, and what's funny is that, okay, she's heated. What's funny is that it's just, I hate that it's just all a joke. It's all a big joke because, like, wasn't it about 10 days ago that they put out that Anthony Scaramucci was going to be the White House communications director?
Yeah.
And 10 days later.
It was last week. I think it was wasn't it Friday or Thursday?
This fool didn't even last a week. Girl. And he's like, oh, I gotta go. Like, not even 10 days was this man
not even five.
Supposedly in this position, and I gotta go. Like, what is going on behind the
And he didn't gotta go.
Doors?
He was fired. People are saying that he quote-unquote resigned. Girl. He was fired.
Either way, you didn't even last 10 days. What is going on behind those doors? Like, it just...
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. Exactly it. It's like, what I fear is if you were to open up the Oval Office doors, it's just going to be like, it's like the scene in, to add some lightheartedness, this is what I thought about today, actually. I thought, what if we were to just go to the White House right now and push open the doors of the Oval Office? What would it look like? What could I envision that it would look like? If you have ever seen the movie Toy Story 3,
yes,
there is a scene where the toys go to a daycare. They get sent to a daycare, and they're in this daycare center. The doors outside open up, and all the children that are outside come running in to play with the toys. Instead of playing with the toys, like, these toys think that they're about to, you know, live their life to its fullest in this, you know, in this daycare center. And it's going to be so fun. They come in and they're like toddlers and they start banging the toys up against the wall and they're scribbling with markers all over them and dunking them in the water and, you know, breaking them apart. And it's like it turns into this, like, this horrible, horrific scene where these toys are being, like, completely damaged.
I feel much.
Like that's what the office would look like if you were to push the doors open right now. It's just all of them in there
just running around
on their Lincoln logs and fucking drawing on the walls with their crayons and jumping up and down the couch cushions like a bunch of fucking toddlers. Like a bunch of sugared up, out of control toddlers. It's
fucking
just
ridiculous.
It's too much.
I can't.
It's just makes me so angry.
It's so frustrating because it's like every and people were talking cash ass shit about my fucking president, President Obama. All 8 years they were talking cash shit about him, saying that he was always taking vacations and he was always, at the golf court or at the golf whatever they call it. I'm not a sports person. The golf field, whatever. He was going
Ar-Lago.
Golfing. Whatever. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? And this fool, since being, you know, he hasn't even been in office for a fucking year. And he's gone to Mar-a-Lago more times than I've gone to Disneyland. And I live here. It's so frustrating.
More times than I go to Taco Bell, and I go to Taco Bell a lot.
Girl, listen. Okay. Like, I can't. It's so frustrating. It's so aggravating. And I just feel at this point, first of all, here's why I got frustrated. Because I'm looking at his supporters and I'm just like, do you realize that your president, the one that you guys voted in, your supporters, I'm talking to supporters now, if they ever listen to this episode, you guys realize that your president didn't even have the balls, the respect. This hit me. If you guys ever listen to After the Blaze podcast, Hope Giselle / Hope Disguise is a co-host on there. And she had put out a video regarding this trans man. And she said something that hit me really hard. He didn't even have the respect. She said, do you realize that you guys Do you realize that y'all's president didn't even have the respect, the decency to even come out and get his ass dressed, to come out and call a press conference? Like, he didn't even call his White House press secretary and none of his peoples and say, hey, I have something to say, call a press conference. He didn't have the balls to go onto the White House lawn to talk to all the media outlets that will be shooting, you know, mics all up in his face because they just want to hear what the hell the president has to say. You didn't even have the balls to go out there and say what you and give this announcement. You didn't have the respect. You know what I'm saying? Like, the decency to do that as the president of the United States. What the fuck am I paying you for, sir? Like, if you're going to slap me in the face, at least do it to my face. You know what I mean? Right. If I expect you to do what we pay you to do.
So even if he did, like, do things properly and like came out and like made an announcement, could we please go to the White House and just stand in any of these press conferences and just, as soon as he starts talking, just really loudly, just at the top of our lungs, yell, he doesn't even go here. Just total mean girls. Just mean girls it. He doesn't even go here.
You don't belong.
You don't belong here. He doesn't go here. Just full on Damien
from
Mean Girls.
You can't sit with us.
You can't, okay? Like, we should just totally stab Caesar. Like, I feel like that's what we have to do. In order to get him out of the, all his gays need to get together, and we need to mean girls his ass.
Yes.
Like, you know when she has the fucking chalkboard and they have like the list of like the things they have to do to get rid of her popularity, like, you know, her nice body, get rid of her nice body, get rid of her, you know, her minions. Like, that's what we need to do. We need to pull on Mean Girls, the Trump administration, and just, that's what it is. That's what we need to do. So all you gays out there, gays, transgendered, everyone under the umbrella, we need to get together and just mean girls the Trump administration.
Right? We just go up to them and be like, you're not fat because we hate you. We hate you because you're fat. Or is it the other way around?
This one time, Trump made out with a hot dog. That happened one time. It's not my fault I have a wide-set vagina and a heavy throat.
Oh, my God.
Or it's just fucking horrible. Like, I can't. Like, it gets me so, like, gets me so heated.
Well, I need to refill up on my cocktail. How about you?
Me too.
Let's take a quick break. We'll be back. Hey, guys. This episode is brought to you by Pyro Media Network. Pyro Media Network is a progressive moving platform to give a voice to those who feel don't have one. Social injustice, equality concerns, and more are just a few reasons why PMN is needed. For more information about Pyro Media Network, please visit pyromedianetwork.com.
All right, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. This is I'd Rather Not Podcast with your hostess with the mostest, me, Christy Champagne, and my drag son, Kwame.
Yes.
Kwame, girl,
yeah.
You got heated.
Yeah,
you got
I did, heated talking girl.
Talking about the dump, girl.
Let me sit back and smoke this blunt. This is too much.
Okay. Girl, I've probably had about two of them edible cookies.
Yes, ma'am.
Since we started talking about this.
Yes, ma'am.
It's such a hot, I mean, I know it's a hot topic right now, and it's just, you know, I hope that one day it won't be, you know, like, I hope that one day we won't have to, you know, at some point it's going to have to get back to where it was when it was getting better, you know, like. We were in such a good place, and we were in such a spot that was getting us to a good place. So I have to have the
you
faith
know,
that,
and I'm glad it will get better. And I believe that it will, because I always feel like it will get better. You know, I just don't want it to get better when I'm 60 and I can't live. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I want it to, and I also don't want to leave this world. You know, and I'm gonna not say 60, because 60 is still pretty young. Let me say like 90. You know what I'm saying? So, okay. I also don't want to leave this world knowing that I have, and I do want to have kids one day, and I don't want to leave this world knowing that they are, you know, endangered of not being who they are or who they want to be. I think that that's what's fearful. And I think, you know, in the Obama era, like, that was such a peaceful time, at least for me, I felt was such a peaceful time. It was such a happy time. And I really talked, you know, or I really, you know, felt afraid to leave my home. What right. were there issues going on, you know, in terms of race issues, in terms of people, you know, hating homosexuals? Yes. However,
right.
It wasn't because of who our leader was at the time, and because of the progressive push that we had towards making things better for and equal for everyone. Right. I really felt more comfortable. I felt, you know, more a lot safer.
Right.
And so,
well, and I feel,
go ahead.
And that's, I think that's how you said the word comfortable. I think that's how unfortunately we got in the position that we are in now, because I feel right. like we were doing so good with the Obama administration, and whether it was Obama or not, whether it had been somebody else who had done just as good a job, I would be saying that as well. But I feel like we got so comfortable. So when the elections happened and Trump was the Republican nominee, I think a lot of us, probably not myself because I went out and voted properly, but I think a lot of people thought because of where we were coming from with the Obama administration, there's no way that somebody as crazy and radical as Trump is going to win. So people didn't, I think people stayed relaxed about the situation. And I think that's how he, I know that's how he got in to office, because I think a lot of people probably thought, oh, there's no way he's going to win. He's too crazy. There's no way he's going to win. I'll vote for somebody else or a third party, or I just won't vote at all. There's no way anyone's going to let Trump win. Well, guess what? A lot of people did.
Right.
And, you know, I know there's numbers and logistics that state that technically he didn't, but we are where we are, and he did. And I think that a good portion of that is because a lot of people probably thought to themselves, you know what? I don't need to vote. There's no way that he's going to win. Well, he did, and here we are. And now we have to not be comfortable.
Right.
We have to get uncomfortable, and we have to get uncomfortable to get back to where we were.
And I think that this was a good situation. You know, hindsight is 2020, clearly. You know what I'm saying? But I think that this is a better situation for us as a nation,
right,
to kind of see that, you know, elections do fucking matter. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And our vote does matter, you know.
Right.
And I think that it's important to maintain the awareness of what's going on in our government, and not just like elect people and then forget about them for the entire year or so. It's important to kind of stay involved in the news. And yes, of course, everybody needs a break mentally, and I get that. Like I try not to watch the news on the weekends, you know, to kind of have a mental break from everything.
Right.
You know, unless something breaking happens. So other than that, I try to stay away from the news on the weekends as best I can.
Here's the thing. We have a lot to worry about right now. Winter is coming, and we have a lot more to worry about besides the government right now. I mean,
right.
Game of Thrones is back on the air. We have a lot to worry about right now. The last thing I need to be worrying about is politics and the Trump administration.
I mean,
the White Walkers are coming, and we need to be prepared.
You're hilarious. For those who don't know, we are avid Game of Thrones fans here at Pyro Media Network. At least some of us.
What's funny, and I was thinking about this yesterday, I was like, why is Game of Thrones right now kind of like
real life,
a reflection of the world right now? Like,
because I feel like Daenerys and Jon are like Bernie and Hillary.
It's exactly what they were. Donald Trump is Cersei. Like, nobody fucking likes her. Everybody hates her.
God.
Somebody's gonna probably kill her. Like, it's so crazy to me how it kind of reflects the world right now, and it makes me love that show 10 times even more than I already did.
Right.
Not to steer the subject away, but. I don't know. I think the thing is, the bottom line right now is that we just need to, you know, put a little love in our hearts, to quote one of my favorite Dolly Parton songs. You know, you have to put a little love in your heart and just try to have some compassion for your fellow man, and not just somebody who's just like you, people who are different than you, people who are trans, people who are gay, people who are Muslim, people who are Indian, white, black, it doesn't matter. Just love more, and like the less we worry about such hateful things and the more we support each other, you know, like it just, you know, it just, I don't know. It just makes me want to reach out to, you know, this stupid supposed ban, makes me want to reach out to every trans person I know and just tell them you're loved and you're not a burden. And not just trans people, anyone, you know, like it just, it's sad to see that a lot of these things that are happening now with politics and in our world will truly tear apart relationships, mm-hmm. family relationships, friendships, working relationships, all kinds of relationships I feel are being put to the test because of what's been going on right now. And it's difficult. It's really hard.
And, you know, and just to kind of touch on that, here's my thing and here's my belief on the situation. I don't care what you believe in, whether religiously, whatever. I have an assortment of friends and associates. Mm-hmm. I know that there is different people in my eclectic group of people who I'm cool with, who are Christian, who are Buddhist, who are, you know, Muslim, who come from all these different religious backgrounds, also come from different ethnic backgrounds. And so what's frustrating for me is that I may have, and even political backgrounds, I have some Republican, quote unquote, people I'm cool with, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Conservatives, whatever. And what's frustrating is that even they feel Trump is crazy. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like and regardless of the situation, they may not agree. We may not agree politically, or we may not agree religiously or spiritually. But right. at the end of the day, that doesn't make us, our political decisions, or like, for instance, you and I was an avid Bernie Sanders fan, you know what I'm saying, right. and supporter. You were an avid Hillary supporter from jump. And so we clashed when it came to political conversations. However, that's not going to change.
There was always respect there.
Always respect. And yeah. but and also that's never changed our views towards each other as people. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, I never looked at, oh, he's a Hillary Clinton supporter. Fuck him. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've never done that. You know what I'm saying? Vice versa. And so I think that that's where, you know, a lot of people, where these extremists, and even on both sides, even the left does it sometimes, you know, to a certain extent. But there's these extreme situations where we have religiously, extreme situations where we have politically, where we cannot sit down and come to a understanding, you know what I'm saying? And that bothers me, because this is what is being emulated in the Senate and the House and, you know, pretty much Congress, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. What bothers me about the situation is that we pay them. Number one, they have a job, no matter how they view each other, to do a job. We pay them mm-hmm. to do a job. That's end of discussion number one. That's their first and foremost yeah. priority. I don't care how you do it. You need to get it done. You know what I'm saying? They have a yeah. job to represent their constituents and do what is in the best interest of this nation for all yeah. people, regardless of how they feel about each other and regarding, you know, political views. They have a job. It is their responsibility to come together, putting all political views aside and focus on the issues at hand and the tasks at hand. And they have yet, collectively, this is not just Republicans, this is also Democrats, they have yet to pass one legislative bill that is in benefit, you know what I'm saying, that they can work mm-hmm. on, that's a major bill. You know what I'm right. saying? And it's because they're so busy trying to undo what the last administration did, instead of moving forward and making a legacy for themselves. You know what I'm saying? If they were smart, if they were a real administration, Trump would sit there and say, you know, I don't give a crap what Obama did. I really don't care what he did. Let's do what makes us better. Let's do something that's going to make us have a lasting legacy. That's what Trump, right. that's what Obama did. You know what I'm saying? He yeah. said, I'm going to do something that everyone will remember in infamy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What I did and what we did as an organization, as an administration. And so yeah. That's what's frustrating for me, is because at the end of the day, I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. I don't care if you're independent or conservative or liberal. I want to know what you are doing for me lately. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. What is my tax dollars going to benefit you? So as that trickles down to our friends and family, it really infuriates me because I look on Facebook and I do see people who are just so hell-bent on being social justice warriors that they have closed the door to listening to the other side and what really is bothering them and why they decided to choose Trump. Because a lot of the reasons that they do... Oh, a lot of the reasons why they feel that they wanted to vote for Trump is because what he said to them and what he promised them and what he was symbolizing for them. You know what I'm saying? For us, right. When it came to Obama, President Obama was a symbol of hope. You know what I'm saying? He may not have gotten every single legislative that he promised out there completed and done, but for the most part, he did what we asked him to do. And he was a symbol of hope for uniting this country. And for the most part, he's done so. You had the little Tea Partiers. You had the little, you know, those little Tea Party groups or whatever of 100 or so. You know what I'm saying? Or 1,000. But never have we had a situation like the Women's March. Never have we had a situation where almost every damn near every major city has had, you know, major marches and protests to go against, you know, the administration. Visible marches. You know what I'm saying? I didn't see a lot of the crap that was going on with the Tea Party. It's because it wasn't in a massive influx. It was just those hard right wingers and alt right and all those other stuff or whatever. And also people who were just, you know, just fighting for the cause, what they felt they were believing in. But for the most part, now it's a situation where, you know, I've spoken to some Republicans who feel bad to be called a Republican because now they're getting lump summed into all of that crap. But that's my issue. That's what your president has decided to do and what your president has represented. So you need to make a choice. And I'm talking to the Congress. You guys need to make a choice. Mm-hmm. If you are not a part of that, if you're not a part of the racist, alt-right, super conservative, far right-winged type of path, then you need to do what you need to do to band with your Democratic brothers, your independent brothers and sisters, and get with the fucking program. Because
I think that's part of the problem is that a lot of them are not willing to do that. And like, my question is to you is what do you do when you come across somebody that you either have a relationship with, whether it be working, family, friend, whatever it may be, whoever this person is to you, what do you do when this person, you realize that this person, it doesn't think the way you do and thinks the polar opposite way that you do? Like, do you find yourself like trying to put them in their place? Do you try to change their minds? Like, what is it that you do if you were put in that scenario, what would you do?
For me personally, based off of what you said, there's nothing I can do. Because you just told me about somebody who is unwilling to see from the other point of view. If they're polar opposites, if they're firm in their beliefs, and first of all, I don't want to change anybody's mind. I really don't.
Right.
I really don't care what your beliefs are. I'm letting you know what my beliefs are and what's going to benefit me and what I need for my constituent or for what I feel the constituents that I'm part of, the constituency that I'm a part of needs. You know what I'm saying? So if you're not a free thinker, if you're not somebody who is going to be progressive and try to move forward in life and try to do something that's outside of the traditional norms, then there's really nothing much that we can talk about. You know what I'm saying?
So like, do you don't find yourself wanting to not necessarily argue, but for the sake of the conversation, I think that's the best word I can come up with right now. You don't find yourself wanting to, even if it is a healthy discussion, do you not find yourself wanting to healthily argue with that person?
If it's a debate, if we're going to have a conversation where it doesn't involve the disrespect or disrespecting each other, I'm all about debating. I've debated multiple people who are conservative, who are right-winged and are fiscal conservatives. Yeah, and they're willing to listen. And they're willing to have a conversation and willing to debate. You know what I'm saying? I've even debated Hillary fans. You know what I'm saying? When Hillary and Bernie were in the primaries, you know what I'm saying? You and I have debated, you know, multiple times. Right. But the bottom line I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. Oh, I mean, I didn't mean to cut you off, but the reason that I was asking that is because after this whole tweet about transgendered people not being able to serve in the military and this supposed ban that's going to happen, I posted something on my Facebook that said along the lines of, like, how can a man who hasn't served in the military tell me that I am unfit and a burden on what, you know, when I want to voluntarily, you know, commit myself to a branch of the military and I want to defend my country that I live in so proudly. How dare you, like, how are you able to do that? That a man that has no previous experience, like, it just makes no sense to me. Mm-hmm. Well, it sparked this very, very, very long and heated debate on the comment feed of my Facebook, which I don't think we really talk about it very much. I mean, we do now. I think we have mentioned it a couple times, but, like, I don't usually tend to put out stuff on my social medias that are very provocative and very that will provoke that kind of response mm-hmm. very often.
Right.
And when I do, oddly, the one time that I do, it just turns into World War VII.
Right.
You know, no, you know, air quotes, you know,
right.
Like, just, it just turns into this huge thing. And so I make this post and somebody that was on my page who I can only assume at this point was a gay man who voted for Trump. I'm assuming, I'm not stating that as a fact.
Mm-hmm.
If that person happens to listen to this episode, I don't know. I assume he voted for Trump, but he was debating basically what I was saying and was coming at me from the polar opposite end of what I was coming from. And we kind of got into a bit of a debate and over the comments for a little bit. And at one point I said, you know, I respect your views. I respect what you have to say. However, I would appreciate it if you no longer basically argued with me on my comments feed. Please don't come to my feed and do this. Please mm-hmm. don't do that. Just out of respect to me, I've listened to what you've had to say. You've made your comments. Please don't basically bait not only myself, but other people on my comment feed as well. Because this went on for a while. This mm-hmm. went on for a couple of hours and, or a couple of comments, I should say. And so I politely asked and it stopped. But in the process of me and this person having this Facebook debate, a member of my family jumped in on this as well and jumped in on the fact that transgender people should not serve in the military and how they felt that being transgendered was a mental disorder and that it made them unfit to serve in the military, which I disagree with. 100%.
Oh, Lord.
Absolutely. 100%. Disagree with. And not only did this debate keep going on with me and my family member, but the debate, like, other people would comment, and then said family member would also comment on those people's comments. And it was like this constant over and over and over and over. And it was like, and none of it from the family member's perspective seemed healthy, like a healthy debate to me. I felt like I tried my best to, like, stay on the path of, like, okay, I see what you're saying, but, or I understand, but I have, you know, I respect your opinion, but blah, 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 whatever it may be. And it just, it hurt is what it really did. It hurt because for you to sit there and tell me that you think being, and now we're not even talking about serving in the military. I felt like this conversation turned into something that it wasn't even originally about. I felt like the conversation turned into that you're just saying that transgender people are a burden on society and have mental disorders, which I don't have my facts pulled up correctly. I apologize, but I know that there was a very long time that being transgendered was considered a disorder, a mental disorder, but that's
being
no
gay
longer
was considered.
Case.
Being a homosexual was
being,
considered a mental
being
disorder
gay
as well.
Was exactly, and I know that that's no longer the case, and whether you want to argue it or not, and whether you think that being transgendered is a mental disorder, it hurt. It hurt because being a member of my community, being a proud gay man, and being a member of the LGBTQI, whatever other letters you put on there, community, I feel like for you to sit there and say that a transgender person has a mental disorder, and now you're not even talking about just serving in the military, you're talking about in general.
Right.
In a weird circle of facts, it makes me feel like you're telling me I have a mental disorder.
Right.
And as a member of my family, that hurts.
Mm-hmm.
And it the amount of stupidity that I felt coming from the opposite side of this Facebook argument just was overwhelming. And the fact that this person was somebody who I grew up with, who is a member of my family, hurt even more.
Right.
And I think this person probably even understands. And I don't have the patience or the want at this point to try to make them understand that how they hurt me, because they're not going to listen. They're not going to listen. And this hate just kept coming. And then it came from other family members as well. And it just another family member, I should say, not other, meaning more than one, just one other person. And it hurt. It hurt. And I'm such a person who, like, I come from a very family-oriented family, and there's always been that love for family around. And when I, you know, grew up and moved away, I moved away from a lot of my family members, and I don't have relationships with a lot of them. And it's almost like being a stranger to this person. You mm-hmm. don't realize how different you are from these people that you grew up with.
Right.
And I think to myself, how did I come from this same household?
Right.
How did I, like, how were we raised by the same people?
Mm-hmm.
How? The amount of, and this is just a tiny little, you know, incident. So it makes me wonder, like, what are the other hateful things that have been said or have been done that have been pointed in maybe my direction before this or after this? You know, it's just like, it's very heartbreaking. And for once, I think I understand a lot more about gay individuals who get disowned by their family members. Not that I'm saying that I was disowned by my family or have been, but I think I understand it a little bit better, because you realize how different you are from these people, and you realize that, like, it just how. And I'm thankful that I held on to the values that I have now and the way that I want to treat people. And I remember saying to this family member, like, would you feel differently if I was transgendered? How would you feel on this issue if I was transgendered? Would you still feel the same way? Or would you feel differently? And I didn't get a smart or appropriate response. And I don't have it pulled up, or else I would tell you exactly what was said. But it wasn't good. And it just was like, how can you not understand where somebody, like, I just don't have any understanding of somebody who can't, even on a small scale, understand where somebody who's different from them comes from.
And here's the thing, Christy, and first of all, that was very brave of you to talk about something so personal. So kudos to you for that. And please know that you are loved. Even if you feel like, you know, there's other people who are, you know, in your family sometimes that, you know, you may not connect with. Please know that you are loved, and that you do have family here. I am one of them. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
And
for that, I'm very lucky.
Right. Exactly. I will say this. You and I are kind of cut from a different cloth when it comes to that. And I think that part of the reason why I'm able to kind of cut off my emotions when it comes to certain things is because of the military. And I mm-hmm. think that I've kind of learned, I don't know if you've seen Vampire Diaries, when they just, you know, they switch off their humanity, you know, they no longer feel. Oh. And it kind of feels like that sometimes when I, you know, get to a point where I'm either overwhelmed or I just want to cut somebody out of my life because we're not connecting. Mm-hmm. I kind of get into that whole I shut off my emotions. You know, I kind of cut that off, and I no longer care about that person anymore. And it's not that I don't care. It's just I don't care what they think. I don't care what they're going to do, how they feel, because it's not going to affect my life overall. And I think that, right. I think that, yes, you know, it does. It feels great when your family is so supportive, when you have family members that, you know, support you in what you do and things of that nature, even friends. But at the end of the day, you came into this earth alone and you're going to leave on this earth alone as well. You know, and I think that, you know, that's where a lot of people get scared in, because I think that it's frustrating, because I do see your point where when it comes to, you know, you cannot physically and mentally understand why someone else cannot have that basic empathy, you know, for someone else. But you also have to realize that not everyone has basic empathy. You know what I'm saying? Everybody has issues and things of that nature. Whatever's blocking that person from understanding a basic kind of basic empathy for a human being. That's part of the issue that we have in this country, you know, that's part of the issue that we have in this world, where we don't have a basic empathy for people. And as much as we want to do it, you know, you may want to have empathy for Republicans or have empathy for somebody else who is conservative, who doesn't get, you know, the left-leaning type thought. But at the same time, every time that we do try, it does get frustrating because we do get burned. But at the same time, going back to what you said originally in terms of love and how you know, we have to stay in that love, it is hard. It is something that needs to be practiced every day. It is something that needs to be focused on every day, because it's hard when you're constantly getting bashed and constantly getting attacked and constantly getting, you know, hated on. And you develop this kind of shield and this kind of thick skin for crap that happens all the time, you know. And so I think for you, you know, my advice to you, and or rather how to handle those things, is you have to really physically kind of pull yourself away from the situation and mentally block a lot of the negativity that goes on. You know, fortunately, it only happens when you post, you know, controversial things, you know what I'm saying? But maybe you need to, because I know that for me personally, not all of my family members are on my Facebook. You know, I have my Twitter open. I have my, some of my Instagram, I guess I add people on this, but my Twitter's open for the most part. But other than that, like, I mean, I have no problem blocking somebody or just keeping somebody out from seeing certain things on my Facebook, because I don't have time for the drama. It's my Facebook. Yeah. I work very hard every day. You know, I pay my own bills, you know what I'm saying? And I don't have time for somebody to tell me what I can and cannot post on my Facebook. I like I said, I invite debate, I invite healthy discussion. But you're not going to sit here and disrespect me on my Twitter or my Twitter feed or my Facebook.
That's exactly it. I finally at one point just had to say, okay, great. I understand where you're coming from, but stop. Stop arguing with people on my page. Stop arguing with me. I'm done. At least have the respect for me to do that. Be finished with it.
See, and that's cute, because you gave him warning. I would have just blocked his ass.
And my thing was it technically didn't stop. And what happened, and what really was like the straw that kind of broke my back, that like really was like, oh, this is just downright, it's just hateful and disrespectful. And don't get me wrong, I'm all for a good laugh, and I understand that there's scenarios and things that make us laugh and make us, you know, like, you know, chuckle, and we live in a very like a society that, you know, there's a lot of, you know, strange people who get famous for things and whatever it may be. There's a lot of things we can laugh at, and there's a way to make a joke at something, and then a way where you're just, you know, completely being disrespectful. And two of these family members posted, one of my family members posted something that to me seemed a little disrespectful. Mm-hmm. And then the comments between said family member and other family, the family member who I was debating with, it kept going, but it kept going on their own page. And I get that it's their own page, and I'm not going to say anything because I didn't want them to do that to my page. So I'm not going to go to their post and tell them, oh, this is wrong or this is horrible, because that's going to spark what I didn't want on my page.
Right.
So I'm not going to be that person to do what I didn't want you to do. But the fact that I saw what happened, it's very disrespectful.
Right.
And it's so hard to me to understand how you like. Okay. So I have two brothers who I grew up with, and a brother who's older than me, who I did not grow up with.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand. I feel like I took on a lot of traits. Most of the traits of my personality, I feel like, came from my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, I feel like a lot of the traits of these two family, you know what? My two brothers, I'm going to stop saying family member. My brothers.
Okay.
I just don't understand I don't know how I'm cut from that same cloth. It just makes no sense to me. And I'm going to keep rambling on and on and on. We could keep going on and on. But the bottom line is just fucking love. If you're listening out there, just love one another. We can have our differences and we can still appreciate each other. I'm not here to tell you how to act. I'm not here to tell you who to be. I'm not telling you who to love. I'm just telling you to love. Find whatever way you can find to just be supportive of somebody who's different than you.
And stop being a dick.
Stop being a dick. Stop being fucking dick.
Seriously.
Kid, especially to family members. I'm fucking over it, girl.
To kind of add on to what you're saying, you're never gonna deal with that. But I would also say to you that you are not cut from the same cloth. You are not cut from the same mold. You're not imprinted from the same pattern. You know what I'm saying? Oh, you like that? You like how I put the pattern in there? Sewing,
okay, pattern.
Sewing
pattern
queen.
So she sews now?
So
oh, okay.
She sews. So
okay.
She
okay.
knows. Okay. So yeah. but with that being said, please understand that you are unique and you are different from the rest of them. So like we were joking around in our first I think it was our first couple of episodes where, you know, like you are a what was it that you said? We're unicorns. You know what I'm saying? We're different. Yeah, and we're just of course, I'm very similar when it comes to you in terms of our upbringing regarding, you know, older brothers and little brothers, and, you know, all of them are straight, and I'm the gay one, you know, just popped up out of nowhere. And, you know, I'm happy with that. I'm okay with that, because then, you know, would I have liked, you know, one of my other brothers to be gay so they can kind of have something to talk to them about?
It would make things so much easier.
It would have made things easier.
If I was not the only gay person in my family.
Right. But then I feel like I would have shared the drama, and I can't.
Oh, yeah.
So the stage is mine.
Okay. Don't nobody take my spotlight.
No, exactly. But yes, I do want everybody to feel like don't let this president, don't let this administration, don't let the right wing, don't let anybody tell you that you are not who you're supposed to be and what you feel you need to be. Because we work our asses off to even just maintain ourselves in this damn fuck ass country. And you deserve to be who you want to be and who you work to be and who you want to grow to be. You know what I'm saying? So don't let nobody, family members, friends, acquaintances, assholes, dicks, whatever, don't let any of these people or any of these beings stop you from being who you are. So that's my little advice.
Respect each other's differences.
Yes.
You know, it's just like we all opinions and views are like assholes. We all have them.
Well,
and a lot of them are fucking dirty as hell.
Yeah.
But we all got them, and there's nothing you could do about it. So just, you know.
Yes, you can. Y'all can fleet. Anyway.
Love you. Okay. Love each other, bitch. Love each other. That's all I want to say. And you know what? If you find yourself in a situation that we have maybe talked about, just, you know, do your best to try to stay positive and keep an open mind about things, and know that people are going to be different than you, and people are going to have different views and respects, but those views and respects don't need to be fueled by hatred and fueled by things that are not right.
Right.
And, you know, like, and stupid facts that you don't know about, you know, like, don't, yeah, if you're going to come at something from a different perspective, just understand where you're coming from and try to come at that with an open mind and, you know, just love each other. I know right. I'm going to keep saying it. Just fucking love each other. It's not that difficult. Like, it's really yes. not that difficult. I would rather right. love somebody, hate them. Like, yes. but unfortunately, some people make it real easy to dislike them. So.
Yes. And, you know, just to kind of, you know, wrap things up a little bit, I definitely, if you guys enjoyed this episode and, you know, because we usually kind of joke around and talk about, you know, try to make fun and light of different things and, you know, but we want to hear from you too. So definitely go on to yeah. our website. We have a website. Mm-hmm. We're legit now. Hey. Definitely go on to idrathernotpod.com. And also on, we also now have a Twitter, our own Twitter. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Tweet.
So tweet us.
Tweet, motherfucker.
Okay. Also at I'd Rather Not Pod. But you can mm-hmm. also find all of our information on pyromedianetwork.com for any information regarding our episodes and shows and things of that nature. Our host bios will be up as soon as Christy finishes hers.
Oh, so. Hey now. I'm a busy girl. I'm mm-hmm. a busy girl trying to get ready for pageant things. I'm
yes.
busy. I got things to do.
Yes.
But and I also want to encourage our listeners to reach out to anyone in your life that is trans.
Yes.
And just tell them that they are loved and they are accepted and that you support them. And do what you can. Reach out to an organization, find, you know, in wherever you are, whatever city you're in, find an organization, see what you can do, you know, whatever it may be, on whatever size you can, you know, level you can handle, but reach out and just support each other. And especially when it comes to trans rights, because trans rights are not just rights for trans people, they're for all of us.
Yes, and trans rights
and
human rights.
It needs to be where we are supporting each other no matter what. And I encourage you to find a way to support a transgendered issue or organization wherever you may be or wherever you live. So please go out and, yes, and do that. And
definitely.
And just remember what we always say. When life gets you down, tell them bitches,
I'd rather not.
Oh, what a wonderful Kiki.